Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, it's actually not Steve. You can probably tell by my voice. This is Becky Brown, and I am joined by Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich in California. Hello, guys.
Hey, Becky, it's good to see you.
Hello, Becky.
I'm so glad to see you.
Becky, a lot of people may not know, is a licensed counselor. And Becky, you were also a part of the staff here at New Life.
And, yeah, still am. They still let me work here in my life.
I know. And prior to what you're doing right now, you were responsible for the entire counselor network across the United States of counselors. And so I think it's important for everybody to know Becky's qualifications, too. Aww. She's very well-trained and experienced.
And been around a long time, way back to those early workshop days where she and
around.
I were therapists.
Yeah.
Yes, it was so fun back in those days.
I
am privileged to be here. I love what New Life does. I love the both of you and just all the years of serving together and helping people in so many ways. And we've got some calls lined up. We're so excited. But before we go to the calls, I'm also excited always about our workshops, like you were just talking about, Jill. Mm-hmm. Intimacy in marriage is one of my favorites. There are very few opportunities in therapy where you get to have a group of couples come together to work on some of those issues, and that's what we do at Intimacy in Marriage. Now, don't let those couples groups scare you, because we've not lost anybody yet. And actually, we hear over and over again how great those group sessions are. But, you know, Mylon is one of our speakers. He and Kay teach us the wisdom that they have to share and have changed so many people's lives. So, Mylon, the big question is, how do couples really get connected where they are fully known by each other? And maybe what are some of the obstacles that they might be running into? I know that you're going to answer that in like 3 minutes, right?
Well, thank you for such a simple question to start the show. You know, that is, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You know, it's not just wisdom. I love the usage of the word wisdom because it implies an accumulation of experience along with cognitive knowledge. But what we did is we studied 70 years of attachment research and then brought it to a level where people could understand it. Attachment research says our early experiences in our homes, how we were raised, and our connection to our primary attachment sources, mom and dad, dictate how we will feel in relationships as adults, how we will react as adults, what our expectations of relationships are as adults. So one of the things we want to do is educate people to help them understand that where they're at is entirely common, that we all have these same historical trends of, you know, six possible tracks you could walk down of secure or insecure attachments, and they're highly predictable. And then if you put combinations of them together, those combinations are predictable. Mm-hmm. Now, this gives people hope because they realize, A, I'm known, and I'm not an anomaly, and I'm not an uncommon problem. And number two, we show a path how to get out of that and to move toward a more secure attachment. This gives people hope, because they realize somebody gets me.
Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't it be great to have somebody get you to really understand? You can find hope and help at the Intimacy in Marriage for your marriage. Intimacy in Marriage Workshop. We're going to do it February 13th. We've got all the details at newlife.com, or you can call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, for all the details and maybe even register. It may be the best Valentine's Day gift that you have for each other. And we know that it'll make a difference. Thanks, Mylon, for that explanation. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown, and I'm with Mylon Nyurkovich and Dr. Joel Hubbard taking your calls. And I think we are going to start with Jeanette, who's calling us from Dallas and listens on KWRD. Hi, Jeanette. How are you today?
Hi.
Hi. You have a little beeping going on in the background, but we're here to take your question. How can we help you today?
I'm sitting in my car.
Awesome.
I took my key out.
Okay. How can we help you, Jeanette? What's your question?
Okay, I just told the lady already. Do I need to tell you again?
Yeah, I sure do.
Okay, well, she told me that it was going to air on the 21st or Thursday.
Yep,
or something.
That's today.
What I was saying to her was that I need help, and I seem to have a void in my spirit or in something. I have children, I have grandchildren, but I don't seem to be a very kid-friendly person. At least that's what my daughter tells me. I'm not the kind of grandmother that'll call up and say, oh, I haven't seen the grandkids in a while. Bring them over. I want to see them. But I don't do that. But when they do bring them over, I'm happy to see them, and I rise to the occasion. Naturally, I don't have to push it. And I was also telling her sometime if I'm on the subway and I get on and there's a bunch of women and they're all cooing and on about some little baby that they see that they don't know, I don't feel that coochie-coo. You know, I just look out the window and look the other way. So there seems to be there's some kind of empty, you know. It doesn't seem, according to everybody else that I see, their reaction, I say I have a boy. And okay. I don't know how to correct that.
All right,
really,
Jeanette.
The way I want to be.
Okay. Mylon or Jill, what would you like to offer Jeanette?
Well, I had a couple of questions first, Jeanette. I'm wondering how you were with your own children and how you felt maybe with your mother and your grandmother.
Oh, God, that's a whole nother story.
To the fight of what is
Well, I wasn't raised by my mom. I was raised by grandparents. And I had grandparents who loved you, but they never told you. They told you they loved you with stuff, things. You know, toys, clothes, shoes, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's how they connected with you, which is void of emotional connection, really. I mean, it's one way of expressing love, but it's you know, not that kind of warm, fuzzy, eye-to-eye relating.
Right.
And so would your daughter say that you were that way with her? Like, did you carry that over into how you raised your kids?
Well, here's another thing. I didn't raise them to the point of adulthood. Hmm. I raised them until they were like 12 or so.
So Jeanette, you've had a lot of loss in your life and not a lot of that continuous emotional connection. So it makes sense to me, you know, why you kind of guard yourself, why you hold back.
Mylon, what would you offer?
I was also going to tell you, like, if you try to give me a hug or something, not just a stranger, but I mean, just somebody giving you a hug. Oh, I haven't seen you, or a comfort kind of hug. I can't do it too long. I have to back away from you, you know, or pull away.
So it's scary.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so the time that I was married, my husband just made me one time stand there, and he wouldn't let me go. And I just burst out in tears. And he tried to tell me. He said, just because a man hugs you doesn't mean he's trying to, you know,
hurt
go
you.
To bed with you or nothing. He's just holding you. And it was the most uncomfortable feeling. I was just squirming. I was trying to get away because I guess I connected that hug with something in childhood. I don't know. I probably need a whole line of therapy.
Well, Jeanette, what you're describing is you have an aversion to touch, and you have an aversion to nurture, and it's not because of you that you have these just inside of you for whatever reason, and it's part of your personality. It's not. It's what, as Jill said, it's a byproduct of the lack of touch and nurturance from your grandparents and from your parents, because your parents didn't raise you. So there's an attachment loss. Now, I talked about attachment in the beginning of the show, and God is the one who invented attachment. That's why we were so drawn to it, you see. He made the human mammal such that it has a very long dependency upon parents. And so the Bible says, if you train up a child in the way which he or she should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. And that's a good news, bad news promise. You know, if I train up a child with no emotional or touch, if you will, then they're going to stay that way because they're programmed that way. I refer to the emotionally avoidant person, like you're describing, as a person who has a learned otherlessness. They learned not to see others well. There's an otherlessness.
Not to count on others.
They don't see others. They don't acknowledge. They're not drawn to. They don't need others for themselves. So they've learned as a child that I will take care of me. So that means that they're not always looking at people, and they're not drawn to people for connection or meeting even some of their own needs of reciprocity, et cetera. So where you're at, Janet, I love your self-awareness. I have a void. Wow, what a neat, neat person you are to even say that.
Right.
Now, if you're simply, and I don't want to reduce this too small, but we see emotionally avoidant people every day in our offices. And they're very common, and they can learn to begin to see others. And with others and listening and seeing them, they develop compassion and empathy in their heart and soul for other people and also for themselves. So it can be cultivated. And it's important for you to understand that.
I love that.
Yeah. Upon a time, my wife, Kay Yurkovich, was an emotionally avoidant person. And then she decided to change, and now she's no longer an emotionally avoidant person. And that's the great news.
So it's stretching your capacity to tolerate intimacy.
That's right.
Right?
Nicely put.
Right? And Jeanette, that's what needs to happen with you if you are willing, right, is to stretch that capacity. Because as Mylan is saying, you know, it's like you're telling us you don't even long for the connection. When it's there, okay, you'll engage in it, but it's not something you miss. And so, because it's safer for you to be self-contained. So it's, you know, we just gradually, you know, kind of stretch and grow that capacity that includes others in our world. And it makes life more fun and more fulfilling.
It does, but it's something we have to do to choose to do.
We
have to choose to have these honest conversations about what am I feeling, what are you feeling, and allowing my history to intermingle with that.
Relationships scare
me, or it scares me to touch.
That's why starting in like therapy is a safe place to start, right? To engage in that process. Structured groups are a good place. We often recommend that as a way of practicing and starting, and our workshops.
I also think we're gonna send her a copy of that wonderful book, How We Love, because
Sounds
I know
good.
that will make a huge difference in her life. And like you said, Mylon, the fact that she's aware, that's a huge, mm-hmm. huge sign. So thanks, Jeanette, for calling in. You know, if this sounds like you, you also can get a copy of that book from us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Right now, we are going to talk to, let's see, it's Rachel. Rachel's calling from Nashville, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Rachel. Thanks for waiting. And how can we help you? Hello, Rachel. Are you there?
I thought everything.
Rachel, one more time. Well, she might be, she put us on hold. So we'll come back to Rachel. Let's see. We're going to talk to Ann. Ann's calling us from WEZE in Boston, and we're glad you called. Ann, how can we help you today? Hello, Ann. Are you there? We are just having, it is just a good day for the phones, let me tell you. Okay, let me try one more. We're going to do third time's a charm, right? Ann, are you there? Let's see. Okay. Ann, are you there? Nope. All right. We're going to go all the way up, and we're going to talk to Lynn, who's calling us from Harrison, Arkansas. Lynn, you listen online. Are you there?
Yes.
Awesome. Yay! Third time's the charm.
You're the winner.
Hello, I'm Lynn. Winner. I'm so glad you called. How can we help you today?
That book, How We Love, is wonderful. I gave it to my kids. I'm 80. I gave it to my kids for their marriage, and they loved it. And they went, oh, my gosh, it goes back to your childhood.
That's a brave mom, Lynn.
Yeah.
Well, I gave it to them, and like three or four years later, they read it.
You know, that's okay.
On the shelf, but they read
well,
it
you know,
at the right time.
Mm-hmm. You can have them go to the Intimacy and Marriage Online Workshop that's coming in February 13th, too. That would be a good suggestion.
They're fine.
Oh, they're doing good. Great.
They're fine. They don't need it.
I went on a cruise with you guys to Alaska years ago.
Oh, wonderful.
And I met the Yurkovits and all those.
Just yeah,
it's been fine, but I listened to you all. My radio station stopped airing you all, so I listen online now.
That's awesome.
I've got a question about my sister, and I heard the conversation that you all had. I don't know whether that was today or not, but I just listened to it, and about a girl that was calling about her older sister, but I don't think she was quite as old as I am. I'm 80 and she's 83. And I'm concerned about her spiritual life because she hasn't spoken to me for 20 years because I'm a Christian. And when I did see her the last times I saw her or talked to her, I was really wanting to share Jesus with her and I didn't know how. And I turned her off and she has never turned back on. And not only that, but she doesn't ever want to talk to me again. Mm. And I'm crying now about it. My brother lives in Alaska, and he's not a whole lot better, but he'll talk to me at least. But he told me, I have her phone number, but she told me not to give it to you. I do not know any of her children's phone numbers or any way to contact anyone in her family. So I can't find out anything about her. And she lives in Washington, D.C., I brought it up at a group meeting we had at church the other night, and everyone said, just pray. And I said, I've been praying for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so I want to write her a letter, but I don't want it to be about me. And I just don't know exactly what to say. I really called you all for that advice.
Okay.
I don't know whether I should just say, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again, or what, something like that.
Okay, Mylon, Jill, really? What would you offer?
20 years is a long time, Lynn.
Yes, I know.
I'm so.
She knows nothing of what is true.
Yeah, yes, that's you know a really big chunk of time, and I'm sad for you, and I'm sorry. You know, I'm curious about you know the fact that your brother's a little standoffish too. I'm curious about you know. their experience on the receiving end of you. And I think it's always good, and it sounds like you are, to reflect on that. You know, my intentions were good. Yeah. You know, what was it that I did, you know, in engaging with them? Where was I not sensitive? What?
I know what I did then, but I'm not doing that now. And I don't know why they can't just go on and, you know, think, well, maybe I've changed. And I said that to my brother the other night. I said, that's a long time, you know. People change. Can't you just, you know, give me the benefit of that doubt and let me at least find out how they are, you know. Mm-hmm. I just want to know how everyone is. I'd like to get a report. He gives me a report of all his kids, what they're doing and everything, but he's just real close. They're both, we were brought up in church.
All right, Lynn, Lynn, we got a break coming up, but we'll come back and we'll finish this conversation. It's tough. We'll talk about it.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Mylan Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we are talking to Lynn. And Lynn, I was talking to Mylan and Jill at the break about this is a challenge because I have all the questions. Like, my first question is, what was happening in year one? When the break occurred, mm-hmm. what attempts were made? And, you know, and without rehashing all of it, you know, that's just my first question. But then now we're 20 years later, and whatever contact you want to make with your sister has to come from a place of benevolence, of just, I care for you, and whether you talk to me ever again, I'm not even worried about it. So that's what I hear you saying. Mm-hmm. Is that where your approach is?
I've said that before, and I said that to my brother. And they don't believe it.
Right.
Well, because I was so strong. I was so strong about, I'm just trying to tell you what's great, you know, and I'll leave this book for you to read, you know, or something. They didn't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear it now. They didn't want to hear it then. But I am concerned about their salvation. And I know that's God's idea and God's. Mm-hmm. I have to leave it up to God, but I really want to write her a letter saying, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And I'll
you get it.
No. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jill.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of like now it's like, okay, we're in our 80s. I wanted to reach out just, you know, maybe a last time to let you know how much I love you and to let you know the insight that I've had about what went wrong and you owning your part. Not about that they don't want to, you know, that, you know, owning your part, that, you know, you're so sad that this has cost you the relationship and that, you know, that you love them and that you, you know, you wish her the best and that you're here if she ever has a change of heart, but, you know, you'll accept.
And the challenge is, Lynn, they're very sensitive to any gospel message.
Yeah, like I wouldn't say anything.
No.
And here's the thing, Lynn, you know, this is where you are not the person to reach them.
There you go.
And so you pray for God to bring others along that would open their eyes, right?
I have been praying that for 20 years.
Okay. And so then you know, unfortunately, that's what you can do. But to realize, you're not the one that's going to necessarily get through to them. You tried and they rejected it. They flat out rejected it.
Yeah.
Mylan, would you offer anything to Lynn?
Well, I would. I would agree with what you, Becky, and Jill said. But there's another factor here. When I encounter, and I've said this before, when I encounter a highly reactive person, I always know that there's hurt inside. Mm-hmm. Underneath reactivity... And Lynn, I'm not necessarily talking about the hurt that she felt with you. There's a previous hurt that causes a reactivity to the message. And so to ask them, okay, we were raised in church. You indicated that to us on this call.
Hold on one second.
Or we had experiences with church or we went to church. What hurt you there? What were your experiences?
I And I know it hurt her.
You do.
So this is what's important, because when we connect with people to understand and appreciate their hurts as a human, we open up a door that wouldn't be necessarily mm-hmm. open to us without our understanding and empathy for that experience. So to be able to say to them, I know something hurt you, and when I shared the gospel with you, if you ever have a chance to talk, mm-hmm. and I realized I didn't take into consideration your hurts, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry for that.
Right, to even say that you were insensitive, knowing the fact that she had been hurt in those ways. And you have to remember, Lynn, we can do the work of God. We can represent him without ever mentioning him or using Christian words, really, just by what right. Mylan was saying, by being relational and trying to meet the person where they're at. That's what Jesus did, right? We don't have to give them a verse and say you need to be saved and, you know, all of this. They will be more drawn by attraction that way.
Absolutely.
I don't know where she's at now.
Well,
20 years later.
I appreciate that. But I think if you started off at this point, if you ever do write a letter and you started off right here, I realize I was insensitive. I failed to keep in mind the hurts you experienced in church settings. I could see why you would be... it would be off-putting to you to hear that. And for that, I apologize. I would just like to get to know you as a sister, you know. And and that's the only thing you can do mm-hmm. is create that overture and wait to see if that allows her. Because if she still has that, and this is what happens to us as human beings, we have a trauma or a bad experience, and it only builds over time in our head. It keeps building. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon, an anthill becomes a mountain. And so that could happen mm-hmm. with your sister with reference to you, Lynn. And just to understand she was hurt and to empathize with that. A lot of people have been hurt by the church. A lot of people have been violated and very much harmed.
It's true. It's true. And we want to be the voice of love. That's what the Lord calls for each of us. And it's very hard sometimes because we hurt for our family members that we're fearful that they may be lost. But it's just a process. One of the things that I want to invite you to is to watch us on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and go to New Life Live and you'll see us there. And we just want you to share. We want you to subscribe to the channel because it gets the word out for more people to find hope and help for their lives. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm Becky Brown. I am joined by Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylan Yurkovich and my boss, the president of New Life, Larry Sonnenberg. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Hey, Becky. Doing really well today. I heard you guys talking about intimacy in marriage early on. And I just happened to have a testimony from one of those workshops.
Perfect.
And I'd love to share that because I think when folks hear these, they get an idea of what they're giving to.
Great.
After being together for 38 years and having run on the crazy cycle for so long, I was hopeful to take away only one tidbit to help us limp along in our marriage. Oh, my God, I was blown away by my experience. The depth of this intense workshop is one that I didn't expect. Steve, Mylon, and Kay are beyond insightful. They understand my husband and I to a T, validating my fears, thoughts, frustrations, and giving us so much hope and encouragement. We can do this. The small group sessions were so helpful. My stoic husband had tears in his eyes when we did the comfort circle, something neither of us expected. It was such a tender moment and a deep connection that I had not felt between us in years. God revealed to me that He will turn our ashes into His beauty. The journey's begun. Thank you is so inadequate, but thank you, New Life.
Mm,
way to go, Mylon.
Yeah, way to go, Mylon. And Kay.
Yeah.
And Steve. They all do such a great job.
But folks, that's, you know, when New Life intersects with you and your needs, the Holy Spirit comes in and does work. And that's what I love the most about this ministry. It's not us. We're doing some work, but it's God's empowerment that comes in and makes changes. You've got to take the first step, and the easiest first step is just to call and ask about this workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're doing that, think about maybe making a gift to New Life.
I'd love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. And, you know, you can also join Club New Life. Club New Life are our favorite kind of people. They support us monthly. And if you join right now, we have a whole big thank you gift that has books from Dr. Amen, Conquer Worry and Anxiety, Growth Has No Boundaries by Dr. Cloudon Townsend, Emotional Freedom Workbook by Steve and Connie Neal, and Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life by Dr. Dave Stoop, and Forgiving What You'll Never Forget by Dr. Dave Stoop, and Healing is a Choice by Steve Arterburn, and well as Take Your Life Back Day by Day, which is one of my favorite devotionals. Obviously, it's a huge pack for so many, just so much gratitude for you to join Club New Life. So join today. You can go to newlife.com or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
And all those gifts keep us on the air.
Mm-hmm. They sure do. They make a difference in the lives of so many people. And we are going to go to one of those people right now. We're going to take a call from Junior, who's calling us from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hi, Junior. You are on New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hello. How are you doing? I'm calling concerning my son. My son has had challenges concerning his identity. He has expressed to my wife and I that he wanted to be a girl.
Okay.
He's six. He's six. He's going on seven. I just want to just say a couple of things that we've experienced. When he was young, he used to like tape hair to his head so we would have long hair. He would want to wear dresses, obsessed with princesses and hanging around girls. And one time when he was like three during Christmas, his niece, his first cousin, got a whole bunch of Barbies or whatever, and he didn't get any of that. He just was so sad and disappointed, bust out crying. Some of the more recent things, last year, we walked by a boy that was in school with him, and the boy was whispering to his sister. He was like, "That's the boy that wants to be a girl." Mm-hmm. So obviously, he's been expressing some things at school. Mm-hmm. He allegedly kissed a boy. He told his mom that he wanted to be a girl so he could kiss boys.
Mm-hmm.
School, you know, kind of dancing like a female, and his aunt said caught him dancing, you know, some kind of way. But that's not the only issue. I've been researching. I just want to get you guys to know, like, me and my wife are in faith. You know, we're Christians. We're praying. You know, he accepted God into his life last year. He loves the Bible. He loves God. He always asks questions. And I've been researching, and one guy said he's a Canadian therapist. He was saying that a lot of times people who deal with identity, it's a cover up for something else. Now, my son does have extreme anger, you know. His brother's 2 years younger than him, and I would say he has a better control over his temper than his brother. He was very emotional, just very emotional anger.
All right.
One more thing. He's never said to us, "I am a girl." He's always said, "I want to be a girl because," always because they get to play with Barbies, because they get to wear dresses. He's never said, "I am." And that always encouraged me because it's always a reason.
Okay. Well, let's find out what Jill and Mylon have to say about this. I know it must be distressing to you, Junior. It sounds like you and your wife have been trying to deal with this. Mylon, Jill, what would you suggest?
Well,
Who wants to jump in?
I do.
Okay.
I will jump in. This is a hard question, Junior, mm-hmm. and it is something that we really didn't know a whole lot about 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It just wasn't on the horizon, and now it's become very popular. It is very trendy, and actually in schools, school districts and teachers' unions are teaching children that gender is something they can select. And so what you and I grew up with and what children are hearing now are two different things. Mm-hmm. But I always go back to what the Bible says that in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis, he created them male and female. He created them. And that really what is happening is that the attack of our society upon basic truths that we've held to be true are also attacks against how God designed the universe and our world and how he designed us as human beings. So really, he made them male and female. And so does God make a mistake? You know, if a child thinks that, again, as a child, he's 6 years old. He doesn't have a capacity to think deeply philosophically, and he doesn't have a capacity to think historically either. So to understand, but you are a boy because there are these things called chromosomes and genes, and the male chromosomes are X and Y, and a female is two X's. And look, here's how God made you, and here's the evidence of that. Here's your sexual reproductive organs, et cetera, et cetera. To be able to keep establishing that norm and to say, you want to play with dolls? Great. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a 5-year-old grandson that loves to play with little animals and play house with them. And he loves to set up their little bedroom and put food on the table for him. He's very nurturing. But he also knows how to play and do guy stuff as well. So I wouldn't let the 6-year-old tell you what his destiny is. Now, I'll then make one other statement. Yeah, he's not the definer of his destiny. But what do you do with these desires? Well, you play with dolls, or you do whatever the things you want to do, but you don't kiss other people, boy or girl, at 6 years old at school. The other thing is, Junior, all of us have propensities. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says we have propensities that are contrary to what God wants. Thefts, adulterers, effeminate homosexuals, thieves, covetous, revilers, all these things will not enter into the kingdom of God, but such were some of you, and you were washed and you were sanctified. So we all have propensities. Now, we have to say no to those. Personally, for me, I'm not into thefts, and I'm not into reviling, and I'm not covetous. And I'm certainly not effeminate, but I could have propensities toward being an adulterer and a fornicator, you see. Opposite sex attraction. Can I act on that because I feel that way? Because that's mm-hmm. a part of me? Am I allowed to act on that and just do whatever I want? No, God says, hold myself into a lane that's his will and to honor him. And the Bible says that we're not to transgress or defraud a brother or sister in that manner, 1 Thessalonians 4. So I have to not believe that my flesh is telling me the truth. And I have to understand.
And it's not the only rule.
And it's not the only thing.
Right? I think what you're saying is really, really important, yeah. Mylan. That, yeah. you know, as a parent with a kid, there's that balance between really hearing them, letting them express, mm-hmm. letting them try on different personas, right? Because mm-hmm. we know they go through a lot, and that repeats through adolescence. Mm-hmm. But while at the same time bringing them back to an expectation and a standard. And that's what we're losing in the world today. All expectations, all standards.
Right.
There's no absolutes. And that is going to be very dangerous for people growing up.
One of the topics that I want to talk to you about, Junior, when we come back, is the whole piece of anger that is coming up in this child. So we'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hello, we are back. This is Becky Brown. I'm with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we are talking to Junior, and go ahead.
Well, Becky, sorry, you go ahead.
No,
but
you
I just
go.
Wanted to add a comment before you go into what you were going to
okay,
talk
go ahead.
About.
Go right
so
ahead.
We're talking to Junior about his 6-year-old son. And I just wanted to say that, Junior, you know, I also appreciate how you're approaching this. And I think, you know, there's a broad range today of what is male and what is female. And within that, you know, again, off of, excuse me, Mylon, you saying God doesn't make mistakes. So within that structure, okay, God knows what he's doing. But what kind of male is your son going to be? What is he going to like? You know, I have a daughter that's into sports. I have a son that's into music theater, right?
Right.
Sometimes, you know, people take on different traits. Some men are more effeminate, and that's really okay. There's room for all of that.
That's right. So, Junior, what I wanted to know is this whole piece of his anger. I wonder, there's two things I'm wondering. How many conversations are you guys having with him about this whole sexual identity? And is there anything else that you guys are talking to him about? Because the reason why I'm asking this is because sometimes when something like this comes up, it can alarm us, and then all of a sudden everything revolves around this. And then it can't be a phase, and it can't be just something, you know, that's part of, you know, his things that he likes, you know, like playing with dolls or whatever. The other piece of it that I want to know about is this anger that you are describing that he's releasing. And I do want to underline what you said, Mylon. No one should be kissing anyone at age 6. So, like, see, that's a whole kind of parenting paradigm that has to come into play. So, Junior, can you tell me just in a few sentences what is causing the anger, or how do you see that coming out in him?
Yeah, so when he was around 2 or 3, we noticed it one time when we turned off the television. You know, he just had a fit. And I don't know who wrote this book. It's called The Explosive Child. Have you guys, you know that book?
Yes, I do.
That child, that book kind of describes my son. It's kind of like explosive, like you don't know when it's going to happen. You know, it's kind of like, you know, and that's what it is. It's at it. Sometimes you don't know when it's going to happen, you know.
Okay.
And in that book, it just talks about, you know, you raise all your children the same, but one reacts differently, you know.
Right, right.
You asked me another question. I'm sorry. I want to answer.
About the whole thing about are a lot of your conversations about the sexuality thing?
I talked to my son a lot about it, and my wife told me about that. And it's just hard for me as a, you know, a father. You know, my wife, she's just like, women are going to love their children no matter what. But I feel like I got to correct it to the degree, like, he knows, like, okay, Daddy, I know I'm God maybe. And, you know, he knows that I have a lot of conversations. And he hangs around, like, when he goes to school, he'll hang around just girls. And now it's to the point where a lot of his mannerisms are kind of feminine. And I'll be like, Richard, we don't walk like that. Or it's like I can't help it. Like,
right. Well, you're scared.
Maybe it's my ego. You know, I'll admit that.
Well, it could be, Junior, but I think a lot of it is fear. And that's the reason why I asked that question, because then everything spins around this topic. But to the topic of his anger, that's a whole different subject altogether. But Mylon, did you have anything else that you wanted to add now that you've heard Junior talking about having these conversations with his son about, you know, you don't walk like that, you don't, like, you know, it sounds like he's attending to it, but I wonder if there's a different conversation that can be taking place.
Well, there's another tack to take on this, which is it's almost though as though your son is male averse. In other words, he just wants to resonate or connect with being the female. So that is something I would try to explore. You know, what males have hurt him? You know, or has he been hurt? Or is he in a situation where he somehow believes that he would be safer as a female, or mm-hmm. that somehow it's a better position to be in? I mm-hmm. don't know, but I keep going back to this same question, and if you've been listening, you'll hear me say it over and over again. And it's harder with a six-year-old, but what hurt you? You know, what scared you? What?
Well, and how does he feel with daddy?
How does he? Yeah,
you know, how do you feel with me?
Right.
As your dad, what do I do that scares you?
Right. And what other males in his life? You said he has an older brother, and so what other males?
No, younger brother.
Okay, but what else has gone on? And to help the child explore that and learn what of our behaviors is a reaction versus an action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to really think that way. So it's really important that we help people ask that question. But again, it's not popular right now to do that. The LGBTQ movement says if you feel it, that's you. And you have to acknowledge it, and that's the only answer. My question is, what is this, a reaction or is this an action? And a lot of people say, well, I felt this way since I was a child. But you see, a lot happened before that mm-hmm. person had conscious memory. A lot of things can happen to a child before they even have cognition
mm-hmm.
that cause them to feel certain things in front of people. This is attachment research, you see. Mm-hmm. Before I have words to articulate a darn thing, other is either safe or not safe.
Right. But there are also kids that are born highly sensitive. Mm-hmm. You know, we mm-hmm. have kids that are sensitive to tactile issues, mm-hmm. sensory mm-hmm. issues. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things going on with the brain, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And we know kids that are explosive, right? Their brain is like always on fire,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's looking at both those things. It's looking at the attachment mm-hmm. issues, and it's also looking at him biologically, too. You know, what is going on that is different there? And then also developmentally, looking at the fact that our first love relationships are same sex. And mm-hmm. a lot of kids at a young age, you know, am I gay? Am I not? Because I want to kiss a boy, right? That doesn't mean you're fixed there. Now, I agree. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot more verbalization about this than maybe, you know, the average kid. But still, that's part of it. It's learning how to connect and relate, and who am I in relationship? And I agree. What feels safer right now about being with girls? Mm-hmm. What doesn't he like about boys, mm-hmm. right?
So, Junior, I hope something that we've said has helped. And, you know, this isn't his destiny, but I also think it's going to be helpful for you to talk with somebody so that you're not in reactive mode as well. Because sometimes when we're afraid of something, we can't see anything different than what the thing is that we're afraid of. And mm-hmm. so we want to have some openness, but also he's young. He's so very young.
Yeah, and some of it too, if he was doing a different kind of behavior that was annoying, being really squirrely in public or something, you would say, okay, we don't act like that, you know, in public.
Right,
You know, there would be correcting like that. Right. So some of that.
We're going to send Junior a copy of How We Love Our Kids, and I think that can help with some of those conversations. You know, it is it's an amazing challenge that we have to raise kids in mm-hmm. any generation, but I think this one is really tough, and we need to be praying for these young parents as well as the kids. And we're praying for all of you that are listening, and we're so glad that you do. You know, for Gift of Any Amount, we have the New Life Journal that's available for you. You can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE for that. Thanks, Mylan. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you, Becky, to be with you today.
Thanks, callers. And tune in next time. We're here to help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To
make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.